monthly contribution thing is great, I think, because then you don't have to think about it. I'm thinking of you. You just have to, like, even $10 a month would be great to me. I mean, that's a lot of money to me. So, and again, you don't have to think about it. You just do the automatic withdrawal thing if that's what you want to do. If you can't do it, then don't do it. I've never charged for anything except books. I will charge for books. But I don't make any money from books, as I've told you before. It all goes back to, you know, running the website for my sister to do all that. It's me and my sister, you know? I mean, this is a small-time operation, but I love it. It's on a shoestring, believe me. Stark and Hartman, I hate to tell you this, admit it, but Stark and Hartman is run off my sister's desk where there are, at any given time, a couple cats sitting on it. She might not like me telling you that, but it is what it is. But this is the way God always operates, and I love it. No, I don't. I gotta admit. Sometimes, you know, I look at these tall buildings in Fort Lauderdale, and I think, yes, Martin's Under headquarters at the top of a tall building and all this. No, that's not the way God does it. It's tempting. Not really. I like the fact that I'm under the radar. It's why I'm still wearing my sunglasses, you see, because I'm flying under the radar. These sunglasses, I would have to say they're a parable. They're a parable of operating, opposing the operation of deception. You see, we're fighting fire with fire here. Oh, you're trying to fly us in under the radar, Satan? Well, guess what? We're in the battlefield. We are not going to succumb to your lies, and we can combat you where you live. It's a scary thing. I talk all glib, like, you know, this is fun. I love doing this stuff. It's very dangerous to be operating in the sphere of the adversary. But we're soldiers, those of us who teach. We're soldiers for your sake, for the sake of Christ. Christ is our enlister. He's the one who's giving us our marching orders. Huh? Oh, I was given this shirt. It was pointed out to me, Martin, you're wearing a silk shirt. Yeah, somebody in Florida gave this to me. It was going to go to Goodwill, and so they gave me this shirt. I know, I look like I'm living it up here in Florida, but it's by the grace of other people. It really is. No, it doesn't make me a sponge. No, it makes me a beneficiary of someone else's generosity, and it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's absolutely true. Yeah. No, I never ask for contributions, but I've never turned one down. That's my saying. Absolutely. Now, leave me alone, please. I got to do a show here. Now, we're going to go back to Jeremiah 29. This stuff's rich. I'm just jumping off things here, seeing words, making associations. This is better than dreams. I didn't dream any of this stuff. I'm reading this, and the Spirit of God is causing me to make associations with other parts of Scripture and to apply it to us. So God has plans for us. I know the plans I have for you. I know them. I know the plans, and they're plans to prosper you. And we have such a advantage over Jeremiah and over that generation in that the Word of God is complete. Paul completed it. And we know the plans he has for us, to seat us at God's right hand, to transform our bodies, to make us immortal, to finally deliver us from our enemies. All this is going to be over. The era is passing by. The era is waxing old. And God is going to bring retribution against your enemies. And everybody's going to appear at the great white throne. All these are sequential events. We know the order that they go in because we study Scripture. It's all laid out for us, folks. It's like looking at a map. You are here? How nice that is when you're at the mall and you see a map that says, you are here. That's comforting to me. When I turn on my little GPS thing and it says, you are here? Oh, good. That's comforting to me. How about this? We have a map of the eons, and we know where we're going to be in the future. So we see a little blue mark, a little blue icon, says, you are here. Only you're not here in the present. It's showing us where we're going to be in the future. You are here. I know the promises I have for you. I know the good things I'm going to bring to you. And if you just wait for them, instead of trying to bring it in yourself or let other people talk you into, you're supposed to have it now. What are you guys waiting for? What are you people waiting for? What are you intellectual, egg-headed, scripture dum-dums waiting for? You guys are just moping along. and you're waiting for the resurrection. Ah, what's the matter with you? Resurrection is now. Really? I thought I was in a dying body. I'm really missing it then. They're prophesying to you falsely. The preterists are teaching you false things. That the kingdom's here now. And that you have a form of resurrection life. Get out of here. Are you kidding me? You make me knock my microphone over for the love of Jesus. Ugh. I'm not going to listen to that stuff. I know, verse 11, Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. He has plans to prosper you. And it probably doesn't involve a new car or a fancy house by the sea. And not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Well, we have more than a hope. We have an expectation. Verse 12. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's the key to 2 Thessalonians. When you seek me with all your heart. It's the love of the truth. I told you this in one of the past ZWTF issues on my series on Romans. How bad do you want the truth? How bad do you love it? Will you bother God until you get it? Those who are being deceived by the false miracles in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10, they're perishing because they do not receive the love of the truth for their salvation. Because I'm sorry, but salvation, aeonian salvation, has to do with loving the truth. Martin, how can we do that? You can't. God has to plant it in you. But yeah, you're supposed to pray for it and want it and hunger after it. Just do it. Just do it and quit wondering where it's coming from. If you get it, it's from God. Please, assume that it's from God. Test the spirit, but then if you're hungering for truth and you get it, then that's of God. But it's true that the wheat and tares are growing next to each other, so I kind of reel that sentence back about just believe it. Just I'm reeling that back a little bit. Because the truth and the lie are going to be so similar. And to finish that from yesterday, Jesus' parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew 13, Sheridan and I have talked on this, called The Secrets of the Kingdom, is that the wheat and the tares are going to grow up together. It's related to the secret of lawlessness. And then not until the harvest will the angels come, the messengers, the cherub, the little cute babies with the little chubby cheeks that you just want to pinch and pet. No. They're agents of destruction. Hallelujah, they say, right before they chop your head off. They're the ones who are going to be able to discern the good from the bad and cut down the bad and harvest the good. Now, actually, they're going to harvest. How's that work? In the day of the kingdom, the evil people will be taken and the good ones left. Yeah, the weeds will be taken out, burned up. That verse is given to me to so-called prove that there's no such thing as a prior resurrection, the snatching away, the so-called rapture. Well, it can't be, Martin, because you say that the good people are going to be taken, the members of the body of Christ are going to be taken, yet Jesus says in Matthew 13 that it's the tares that are taken and the good are left. Well, exactly, but it doesn't disprove, one truth doesn't disprove the other. It's the fact that we're looking at two expectations here, an expectation for Israel and an expectation for the body of Christ. It is different. I detail this in detail in my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. And if you don't have that book, go to my website, martinzender.com, and order it. Israel, indeed, they are, the bad are taken, but in the body of Christ, the good are taken away. When I say good, I don't mean morally superior. I mean the ones that God picked. So I should have said that, the chosen. Let me rephrase it. The chosen instead of the good. Because just because you're chosen doesn't mean you're good. Oh, that was good. Write that down. Just because you're chosen, how much time do I have left? Doesn't mean you're good. That just means you're chosen. I'm going to send that to Clyde for a page topper on the Bible student's notebook. All right. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. Then you will call on me and pray, and then I will be found by you. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will bring you back from your captivity. And God is going to bring us out of our captivity because we're captives right now. Captives, captives, captives. Israel, Babylon. Israel captive in Egypt. You and me captive in this world. Paul captive by the Romans. He's going to bring us out. That's a promise. You will seek and he's going to bring you out. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you. Banishment, interesting. Nebuchadnezzar, he was banished and God was going to bring him back. And I will bring you back from the nations where I banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you in exile. Verse 15, you may say, in light of this, you may say, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. The Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. And you, my contemporary brethren and sistren, you may say, the Lord has yet raised up prophets for us in this day. No, no, my friends. But this is what the Lord says about the king who sits on David's throne and all the people who remain in this city, your fellow citizens who did not go with you into exile. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will send the sword, famine, plague against them, and I will make them like figs that are so bad they cannot be eaten. I'll tell you what, I'm going to make you so bad. How bad? You're not going to believe how bad. Tell us. I'm going to make you so bad that you're going to be like figs that can't be eaten. For an Israelite, that was like, oh my God, that is bad, because figs were the big deal back then. Going to make a great point here. You're going to see. Wait for it. Figs are so bad they can't be eaten. I will pursue them with a sword, famine, and plague, and will make them abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth, a curse, and an object of horror, of scorn, and reproach among all the nations where I drive them. For they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, words that I sent to them again and again by my servants, the prophets. My servants, the prophets. And you exiles have not listened either, declares the Lord. Because who are they listening to? They were listening to the false prophets. And the false prophets told them to stay in Jerusalem. They told them that this exile was not of God, because the false prophets prophesied what appealed to the flesh. And what appealed to the flesh was, God doesn't want you to go into exile. God would not do a bad thing. We're hearing the same thing today in these happy little Christian books with flowers on the cover, like from people like Max Licato and those thieves, those false teachers. They prophesy falsely. God doesn't want you to go into exile. What are you doing on a cross? You're not meant to be on a cross. You're a king's kid. You're special. Special people aren't naked and crucified. Why are you a sheep led to the slaughter? Man, you're supposed to be in a wonderful house driving a fancy car. And God said that he is going to hound those people. Those people who told you to stay, told you that the exile was not of me, those people, I'm going to pursue them with the sword, with famine, with plague, and make them abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth. You say, Martin, how does this correspond with the gospel of grace? Because I read to you last week, Romans chapter 12, indignation is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. The Lord is going to chase down Joel Osteen. He's going to chase down Kenneth Copeland. He's going to chase down the ministers of prosperity, the ones who told you. There's more coming on this. There's more in Jeremiah 29 that I'm going to get into tomorrow. He's going to chase them down, and they're going to get theirs. In the meantime, you're getting yours, and God is giving you the truth, and he's telling you not to listen to these people. And I'm warning you that it's going to get better sounding and better sounding. And the truth might, to you, get worse sounding and worse sounding. In other words, it's not going to be able to compete. Like, how can anybody compete with Obama? You can't compete with Santa Claus. If you got somebody saying they're going to give you everything for nothing, you can't compete with that. Work hard, keep your nose to the grindstone. If a man doesn't work, neither can he eat, neither shall he eat. You can't compete with Santa Claus. So when people come prophesying Santa Claus, it's hard for us, whose noses are to the grindstone, who are naked and suffering and sick and weary and tired and not being prospered, not making tons of money. Our dreams are being shattered. It's tough for us to compete with these false teachers that are saying you should, if you just had the faith, you should be flying in the spirit right now. Well, our spirit is invisible and we are flying in the spirit. But God has told us that he knows where we're going. He knows what our expectation is. And it's in the next life, not this one.